My name's Jono Bacon, and I'm a perfect 10.
My name's Stuart Langridge, and I'm a perfect 38.
And this is...
Shot of Jack! The best way to find out about new things is word of mouth, and here on Shot of Jack, we're all about the words. So over the next few weeks, we're going to give you some recommendations in what we call the Perfect 10. 10 of the best things you can find in one category or another, and each one comes with the Shot of Jack guarantee that we like it. In this, the first Perfect 10, we're talking about Android applications. 10 great apps for your Android phone that you might not have heard of and that we really love. So without further ado, Jono, give your first of the Perfect 10.
My first application that I want to put in here, and all of these are available in the Android store, in the Android market rather. My first one is called Quickpedia, and the reason being is that I have almost a medically concerning obsession with Wikipedia. I absolutely adore Wikipedia. And I've discovered that one of the best things about an Android phone is, you know, like when you're laid in bed at night, right? And so I'm laid next to my wife, and often I need to read something before I go to sleep, and she goes to sleep a bit earlier than I do. So I lay. I don't want.
So you're lying there next to your wife doing whatever, and you have to stop and look things up on Wikipedia. This is concerning.
Shut up. So what I do is I lay there, and I don't want to leave the light on. Right? Because otherwise it'll keep her awake. I don't want to leave the TV on because I'll fall asleep and leave the TV on and get into trouble. So therefore, the ideal thing about an Android phone is that I can lay there and read stuff, and if I fall asleep, then it just falls under the bed and the light switches off, right? So yeah. Quickpedia is perfect because it means I can read Wikipedia before I go to sleep. I can also read it on BART and wherever else. So yes, Quickpedia is just basically a client for Wikipedia. It's fucking great.
So just so I understand this, it doesn't have a local mirror of Wikipedia. You need a network connection for it to work.
Yes. Right, okay. I thought that was pretty obvious.
No, I mean, there used to be a thing called Zedpedia, which worked even on really old devices, Palm 3s and what have you. And it did this incredible compression. And you could get a reasonable proportion of Wikipedia onto even really old devices. The idea of having an offline cache of Wikipedia on your Android phone is not totally unreasonable.
No, absolutely, and this relies on an internet connection, but it's really good. It's really good. It's great for those moments where you just want to read something and satisfy your curiosity, and you know you got nothing to do. So
cool.
Next,
my first app is called On Air, and it's amazing. It's an FTP server, basically. So you start it up, and you get one massive, great big button. You press the one big button, and your Android phone becomes an FTP server. And cool. it randomly generates the password. And I've got a bookmark for it in places, bookmarks. So I just hit the bookmark, type in the password, which comes up in nice big letters on the screen. And then I can drag things on and off my Android phone. And I can do it without having to plug it in over USB, which is really, really handy.
That's really cool.
Yes.
That is really cool.
On Air. Go and get it. It's great.
I think I'm going to get that, actually. I had not heard of that. This is useful for me. next up is Seismic. Which is a Twitter client for Android. I actually heard about this from you, Ak. So I you know, like many people, I like to tweet on the go. It doesn't support Identica right now, and there are some other clients that do, but I found that this is just pretty straightforward and easy to use. So if, you know, if I want to tweet something, it allows you to, you know, obviously look at your timeline of messages. You can look at replies. You can look at your direct messages. You can tweet pretty easily. So it's just a really simple, straightforward Twitter client. And then it'll also, you can set it so it'll poll your feed as well. It'll kind of kill your battery a little bit, but it will, you know, so you can see when new tweets are coming in. So,
now, that's interesting. I used to use Seismic, but I now use the official Twitter client for Android, which is actually a lot nicer, I think.
Oh, I'll check it out. I haven't tried that. So, what's that called?
It's called Twitter, if I remember.
Oh,
really.
Okay.
Yeah, it's really good. My next app is called Droid Comic Reader, or sometimes it's called ACV, and it's for reading comics. Now, I've talked before about Aldico, which is for reading books, EPUB format books. This is for reading comics. And if you're the sort of person who were to rip off comics off the internet, then they come in two different formats, CBZ and CBR. And ACV can read both of these things, and it's just great. I mean, the phone screen is a little bit small for reading comics, but it's really handy for just having a batch of comics on your phone that you can read through.
That's pretty cool. I've never really read comics before, but I guess you kind of need a proper client really for them, don't you?
Yes.
Can you download comics with it, or do you need the comics yourself?
You need to get the comics yourself.
There
are libraries actually where you can now actually probably officially buy comics online rather than getting them from, for instance, the Pirate Bay. But but that sort of thing's still rather in its infancy at the moment.
Wow. Somebody downloading comics off the internet illegally, that's like a whole new level of sad, isn't it?
Shut up. Next item.
Speaking of which, my next choice is going to be, it's an interesting app called Colour Flashlight. Can you guess what it is?
I can't believe it's one of your favourite applications.
I know it sounds incredibly simple, but it is exactly what it says in the tin. It's a colour flashlight. And it's colour spelled the American way, C-O-L-O-R. What it is it's basically, it switches your screen on to a certain colour, and it means that your phone turns into a torch, or a flashlight, as they call it in the US. And it sounds very simple, but it's incredibly handy. Like, the amount of times, I've come home and at night, and outside the front of our apartment, we don't have any streetlights or anything like that. So it's really dark. So if I want to, unlock the house, then it's handy to just get my phone out and shine it onto the thing. Beforehand, I used to do this by just basically switching the screen on, and then every time the screen was shut off, pressing the button again so it would switch back on again. The fact that it supports different colours, honestly, don't really care. It's just a flashlight. And there's also like a candle feature. So if you're at a gig, you can like hold your phone up and show a candle. But other than that, it's just really useful. It's simple and it's really useful. I use it all the time.
I've got one called Flashlight, which only does white. And now I feel really impoverished that it doesn't do loads of different colours.
You need to get with the times.
Exactly. You see, I'm falling behind. My next app is called Abduction, and it's a game, and it's excellent.
Kind of game.
It's a really simple little game. You're a cow, and you have to bounce all the way up to the top of the screen. And you tilt the phone to make the cow bounce in different directions. And it sounds stupid when you have a go at it, but it's unbelievably addictive. It's just incredibly frustrating. And one of the things that I like most about it is that it's got different levels of difficulty. And the most difficult level is called Evil Infinite, where you never reach the top, and it's really, really hard.
At what point does somebody think, I'm going to make a game about a cow bouncing to the top of the hill?
Well, that's why I like it. It's just really simple, but it's unbelievably addictive.
That's the best games, Best games are like that. So next up for me is called Google Places Directory. And there's lots of different apps on Android for like finding restaurants and bars and whatever locally to you. And I just find Places is probably the easiest. It's an official Google app, but basically what you can do is you can it switches the GPS on your phone or uses the wireless triangulation thing, and then it'll basically tell you restaurants and bars and whatever else in your local area. So you just tap the category that you're looking for and it'll tell you. And then it's got ratings and it pulls the ratings from Google. So for example, if you want to go and have dinner in an area and you don't know the area, it'll show you all the restaurants near to you with the highest ratings. And the thing I like about it is that there's loads of apps that do this, but it's really simple. It's not full of gimmicks and buttons and other crap. It's just really simple. And then you can also obviously switch on the navigation thing to find the actual restaurant. So,
okay.
Yep, Google Places.
My standard complaint about that kind of application, San Francisco boy, is it any good if you don't live 5 miles from the Google office?
Don't know.
Right, okay. I mean, I use Foursquare for this kind of thing.
I mean, I've used it elsewhere in the US, but I don't know about England because I'm roaming.
Yeah, I mean, and so I will take a look at it, but I don't know. My next application is Remember the Milk. Now, Remember the Milk is actually a web application, a task list, to-do list manager. But they also have an Android app, and I use Remember the Milk quite extensively to remember things like shopping lists. And the Android app that goes with it is great. And because Remember the Milk integrates with Getting Things GNOME on my desktop, it means that I have one task list everywhere I go, which is really fantastic.
Sweet.
It does require a Remember the Milk Pro account. So you
is that a paid account?
Yes. The application itself on Android doesn't cost you anything, but it won't work unless you've got a Remember the Milk Pro account, which is something pitifully small, like $10 a year. So
right, okay.
I definitely think it's worthwhile. Exactly.
Yeah. Cool. Next up for me, my last one is going to be the Last.fm client. Those of you who don't know what Last.fm is, it's basically a website where when you listen to music, it will store your preferences. So it builds up a profile of the kind of music that you like. So as you would probably expect, my profile contains both genres of music that I like, which is death metal and brutal death metal. but the thing that's nice about it is that the app that you can get for the Android for the Android platform allows you to stream your neighborhood radio. They have this concept called neighborhood radio, which is basically music that's very closely aligned with what you like, and you can stream it directly to your phone. So if you're in a 3G hotspot, you can listen to your music. You can plug your headphones in and listen to it while you're on the go. So it's perfect, for example, for, you know, if you're in an area that's got a reasonable bandwidth or you're driving, whatever else, then you can listen to your music on the go. And I don't have any music on my phone, so it's perfect for me.
Nice. I've got loads of music on my phone, so I'm not particularly worried about that.
It's also a widget, so you can put it on like either side of the screen, and then you can just one tap and then off you go. So.
Yeah, nice.
What's your last one?
My last one, it changed my Android experience genuinely for the better. It's the ShapeWriter keyboard. It's a replacement keyboard for Android. So instead of using the default one, you use ShapeWriter instead. And instead of pressing each letter individually to do a word, you actually put your finger on the first letter of the word and then draw over all the letters in one continuous movement. And it's made me a way faster typist on Android. It's not perfect because it tends to guess wrong sometimes. And that's quite irritating. But
that's really annoying. But is that an issue just with the auto completion shit in the Android phone?
Well, yes, sometimes. But I mean, it's not perfect and it needs refining. But I'm much more. I enjoy the experience of writing long form text, you know, long form text being things like Twitter or email replies or something with ShapeWriter. I much prefer it to the stock Android keyboard.
Well, as an example of the auto-completion thing, Erica emailed me once, that's my wife, and she said, I'm looking forward to seeing you. And I sent a reply back and said, I'm looking forward to seeing you too. And it auto-completed as mummy. That didn't come across weird. So I'm not a fan of the auto-completion at the moment.
Seriously, so, it's still ShapeWriter. It's brilliant. Okay,
so there we go.
Yes, those are our perfect 10 Android apps. We'd love to hear about other Android applications that you use, things that you find really, really interesting. Don't tell us that Google Maps or Gmail or whatever, things that come on the phone, don't tell us they're brilliant because we know.
Yep. Tell us all the interesting stuff, the weird little apps that you found. There's loads of them out there. And it's always really good to know about little things that help your life or that fun little games or whatever else. So you need to go to shotofjack.org where you heard this shot and leave your comments right there.
Or you can go to shotofjack.org/discussed, find out how to send us your favourite apps on Twitter or Identica. You can send them through Seismic or the Twitter app if you want to, directly from your Android phone.
Yep, and we'll see you on the next Shot of Jack.